Have you ever had that experience where God just messes with you? And I'm not talking about those nice little warm fuzzies like coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. I'm talking about when God like yanks you up by your ankles and tries to shake the change out of your pockets. Or maybe God's trying to shake some sense into you. I'm talking about the kind of messing with you like God did with Jacob. What God or God's angel did with Jacob when they wrestled all through the entire night and then Jacob spent the rest of his life limping. Yeah, like when God is wrestling with you and you're either going to walk away with a limp or a blessing or both. I had this sermon for today down. I mean, I was prepared to talk about the sheep and the goats and the differences and when eternal truths don't age well. And by that, I meant that if the eternal truth of this story is that God is going to separate the sheep from the goats, and to the goats, God will say, this is a quote, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Well, that doesn't work on so many levels. It's like those often misinterpreted scriptures, eternal truths about women submitting and the sin of Sodom and slaves obey your masters. No way those hold up. So with this parable, I was going to make sure all of us understood that judgment is not ours. And that we don't get to decide who are the sheep and who are the goats. That much of the animosity and anger in this world is because we see the world as sheep and goats. And invariably, we are the sheep, and those who are like us are the sheep, and the ones we disagree with are the goats. To liven up the sermon, and to be fair to those of you who have no experience with actual sheep and goats, I was prepared to tell you the seven main differences between sheep and goats, including fascinating things like their differing foraging patterns and the directions that their tails point. I was going to send you away with an A-plus lesson in animal husbandry. But before I had it quite all worked out, I had a couple of experiences that saved you from a lesson on animal husbandry and saved me from trying to hog-tie this sheep and goats and wrestle them into submission and wrestle this parable into submission. You see, as I was working on this sermon, I forgot everything I've learned about parables. I went right back to treating this parable like any other scripture instead of like unscripted reality TV. Now, of course, Jesus taught according to a script sometimes, right? He taught in the synagogue sometimes. He would read the ancient scriptures and interpret them anew for people. It's like he would take an old word and weave it with a new word. Kind of like he did that time when he had returned to Galilee and he began to teach in the synagogues. Do you remember this? And everyone was praising him for his wisdom. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom, and he stood up and read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll, the scriptures, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to them and sat down. And when the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now that's some serious stuff. Prophecy, sermon, all rolled up into one. But what I've been trying to convince you of now for several weeks is that sometimes Jesus took this show on the road. You know, it's kind of like that scene from Dirty Dancing. You know, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Like, they'd been working and working and working on their dance in the studio, and it's not getting any better. And so finally Johnny's like, let's get out of here, right? And then they practice the lift, and I know y'all don't care, but, it's like that scene in Remember the Titans. You know, here's one of the first integrated high school football teams. And they've gone to summer camp, and they worked on the field, but they're not getting it. They're not getting it. Black boys and white boys can play on the same team. And so Coach Boone takes them out on a pre-dawn run to the battlefields of Gettysburg. And in that dark and fog, when the blood of those dead soldiers washes over them, they begin to understand. Not because they memorized facts or studied a playbook, but because they let it happen to them. Well, I needed to let Jesus loose in this parable. I needed to stop trying so hard to figure out what it meant and let it happen to me. I needed to be faithful. And about that moment, I read this quote that really hit me in the gut, and you'll see why, because this parable is about sheep and goats, right? This quote's from a Stoic named Epictetus. He said, listen, the sheep do not vomit up the grass in order to show the shepherd how much they have eaten. They digest it and use it to produce wool and milk. That quote right there saved you from having me vomit up this parable to show you how well I understood it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a time for studying in depth, pulling it apart, breaking it down. In the Sunday morning Bible study, in the salt study of John, even most Sunday mornings in the sermon, we study, we break it down. We compare and contrast and contextualize. Sometimes we even do that with parables, but not this time. Not this series. This series, we're trying to put ourselves in the fields with Jesus. Like, stand barefoot in the fields with the hot sun on our necks, hearing that just like the lilies, we don't need to worry about what we are to eat and drink. We're sitting cross-legged on the rocky shoreline at the Sea of Galilee, hundreds of feet below sea level, with mountains at our backs, and Jesus conjures up a farmer planting seeds, some falling on the rocky soil where we sit, and some in the scrubby briars, and we get it that the seed is the word, and it can find fertile or fallow ground. So today, I'm asking you to let this parable happen to you. You're not just sitting in an air-conditioned building in Texas in June. You're following this rabbi Jesus, and he's not convinced he's getting through to you in all the traditional ways. So he says to you, let's get out of here. Just like Johnny said it to Baby, or Coach Boone said it to his infighting football team, let's get out of here. Let me show you. And so he took them right out of the synagogue, out of the sanctuary. Doesn't care if you're dressed for it, if you brought water bottles, he's had you walking for a little while now. The buildings start to fade away. You hear the sound of the sheep and the goats, because yes, their flocks were often mixed, and the shepherds don't take a day off. So you hear the sheep and the goats, and then Jesus says, look at these sheep and these goats. when the chosen one comes in glory with all the angels and sits on the throne of glory, all the nations will be gathered, and the chosen one will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep at the right hand and the goats at the left. And then the chosen one will say to those at the right hand, come, you that are blessed by God, inherit the dominion prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous, the sheep, will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the chosen one will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then to those at the left hand, to the goats, Jesus said, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What did you hear? No, really, what did you hear? What did you feel? What did you struggle with? What did you wonder about? I know what happened to me this week. What's happening for you? I'd like for you to tell us. I can bring the mic to you. You can come right up here. Don't worry about the cameras. We won't put the cameras on you. Did you feel anything? Did you sense anything? Were you thankful for anything? Did you start making a list of the sheep and the goats? I know you don't know what to do. I've never done this in all the years. But I have faith.
So I started out all focused on the sheep and the goats and how unfair it was that the goats were cursed and that God would pick out some people that were cursed, et cetera, et cetera. And then when Pastor read the whole scripture, then I could see that it was empowering because when you read the whole scripture, you don't have to worry about the sheep and the goats or any of that. You just need to do what you need to do. Feed people, clothe people, that kind of thing. And it makes me feel better because it tells me what I need to do and I don't have to worry about everything else.
And I want those of you who are online, too, if you want to put something in the chat, I'm going to try to keep up. If you have something you'd like to share. I can't see everything here, so if some of you have your phones and you see comments come through.
I think, and I've talked about this before in churches, that a lot of times we get a lot of messaging on how to avoid being the goats, and we don't think hard enough about how to be the sheep. And I think that the message of who the sheep are in this actually, weirdly enough, like the mission statement of Uprising came to mind, the one where it's like the greatest expression of our faith is how we are in the world. So I thought that was interesting.
Nice and close. Nice.
All right,
and close.
I'll get it nice and close. Sorry for those online. I said that I've talked about this in churches before. I think we get a lot of messaging on how not to be the goats, at least in society. We get a lot of messaging on how not to be the goats, and we don't always think hard enough about how to be the sheep. And I mentioned that I think that this parable kind of matches with the end of the mission statement of Uprising, where it's like, the greatest expression of our faith is how we are in the world.
And then for me, I think what's interesting, what's important in it is that this is Jesus's, in the Gospel of Matthew, this is Jesus's final proclamation before he dies. So there is a strong sense of urgency here, and then there's something in here, considering this is his final message that sums everything he ever taught up in one final parable.
I think for me that it focuses on culture stuff. Like, we see the world in different cultures, whether it's LGBTQ, deaf or hearing. And sometimes we all feel like we're divided. And with this sermon and the parable, it talks about, well, it doesn't matter in the end. We're all welcomed by God, and we're all children of God.
To me, this parable represents the...
Can you just move your mask a little?
Oh.
Thanks.
To me, this parable represents the problem of binary thinking. Because if I'm honest with myself, I contain both components. And I think of when I read in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis said that sin cannot survive going into eternity. And I see this as more that God will remove the sin, the goats, from me and leave the sheep. But in this life, I believe that I am tasked to try to be as sheepish as I can.
And you usually aren't. Someone online says, this has me thinking about how I am in the world. What do I provide? What do I give? You know, there are no wrong answers here. There are more answers. There's more help for each of us when we hear from each other.
I was just thinking that we have a choice whether to be a sheep or a goat. And I think, like Josie said, we are both, but we get to choose by our actions to become a sheep.
Well, I might have a little bit of a different take on this because I think goats are kind of cute. I think thinking about the message of division and what other people have said, it's not our job to figure out who's a sheep and who's a goat, and that we do all contain both. And as I believe it was Josie said, God removes the sin from us, whether we're a goat or a sheep. We're all God's creatures. And again, goats are kind of cute.
I can't tell you how many times I thought about all y'all out at Ken and Tom's holding those baby goats. I know you love those goats.
I wanted to share with you something that I learned in my job out in West Texas. I think I've shared it with Reverend Karen before. And that's, I used to work for OSHA, and I would go out and make inspections. And I had to go to this sheep processing plant. And as a lot of you know, sheep don't have a reputation of being real smart. They're beautiful, they're innocent, but they lack some in the intelligence category. So it was always a challenge to move the goats from their pens into the slaughterhouse. So to do that, they train a goat. It's called a Judas goat. And they train the goat to walk between the pens and the slaughterhouse. The difference is when they go to the slaughterhouse, the goat passes through and goes back to the pen, and the sheep stay there. I think this is kind of a good lesson in life, too, right now for us. Be careful who you follow, because those of us who are sheep sometimes are kind of led astray by someone that might be a Judas goat.
I'm thinking about the when eternal truths don't age well with regard to being a sheep or being a goat. It's a good idea to be a sheep as young as you can, because if you don't age well, it's harder to take care of other people. Mm-hmm. And that's all.
Yesterday, I attended the LGBTQ Caregivers Conference here in Austin. And that's true. You know, you need to be able to take care of people that need help. We need to share our love, maybe even some of our wealth, our talents, in caring for others. Because the day may come when we can't. And hopefully someone will be following behind to take care of us. But we got to do it while we can.
So we'll bring this to a close, and I want you to know that when I'm finished right now, we're going to sing the last verse of the first song again. Daniel, I appreciate you and what you choose for us to sing, but sometimes when we sing at the beginning of the service, we've sung something that's profound, and we don't know it yet because we haven't put all the pieces together. So we're going to go back and pick up that last verse of the opening hymn. Now, I don't know if I can say this in a way that you can understand, but thank you for all of you who offered your hearts this morning. And I'm sorry if I missed you online. But I've done plenty of thinking about the sheep and the goats these last few weeks. I've drawn up lists. I have action plans. That wasn't saving my soul or my life. Something hit me just this morning. I always assume I'm the sheep or the goat that Jesus is talking to, and this morning it hit me. What if I'm just one of the hungry? And like Carson said, this was the last thing Jesus said before his trial and crucifixion. This was the last thing. So what if I'm one of the hungry, and all I get from this parable, all I get from this parable is, before Jesus left this earth, he made sure that I wouldn't stay hungry. Because even though he's not here to feed me, the one thing he cared about more than anything else was to tell his followers, you feed them. You feed them. And it brings me hope that when I'm hungry or tired or thirsty, Jesus will still be reaching out through the people. And then sometimes I need to be one of those people. We're going to sing this last verse again. I feel like a Baptist preacher. We're going to sing this last verse again and let the words sink in.
Teach us all.